So grab your note sheet, and we're in this series called Best Year Ever Reloaded, and it's sort of a step off of the series that we did in January called Best Year Ever. We sort of got ourselves aligned and said, these are the things I have to do to have this be the best year ever in my life, and now we're revisiting it. Last week, week one, we said, if I'm closer to God, if I get to the end of this year and I'm closer to God, I'm well on my way to the best year ever. And you can grab that talk, go to apps, East Lake Church, Utah, go to any of the stores, you can download that and get that. And basically there was three things that we said. You can jot these in the notes if you missed it. And it was this right here. It's like, do I have any conflicts I need to resolve with God? Do I have a clean slate with God? Do I need to obey the Lord? So like three questions, and how I answer those three questions determines if I'm close to God. Do I have any conflicts to resolve? Do I have a clean slate? Is there anything I need to obey? Get those down, and then you are close to God. And if you're close to God at the end of the year, you are well on your way. Now, this is week two, so grab your note sheet. And in week two, we're saying something super, super simple, that if at the end of the year I can say I'm healthy spiritually, I'm spiritually healthy, it's the big idea, I'll be well on my way to having the best year ever. So last week, I'm close to God. This week, I'm spiritually healthy. And here, let me read something to you. Test yourselves to make sure you are solid in the faith. Don't drift along, taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. You need firsthand evidence, not mere hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it. Now, every year I get a complete physical. So I've been doing that for a few years, and the last couple of years has gone pretty well for me. They bring me the results, and the results are pretty good. But I remember the first time I got a physical, I hadn't been for years and years. I'd never even gotten a physical, and you know, everybody's like, really super important, you got to go get a physical. So I went and got a complete physical finally. And at the end of it, you know, the doctor comes in, and they're going to give you all your results. And so I'm with the doctor now, and he's giving me all the results of the physical, and he says everything's looking pretty good, except for your cholesterol's a little high. At that time, I didn't really know if that was good or bad, but by the tone of his voice, I figured it wasn't so good. And so he starts quizzing me, asking me questions. He wants to know about my lifestyle and my exercise, and then he gets on to diet, which I hate. He starts asking me what I eat, what I don't eat, and then he asks this question. He says, you know, do you eat very much dairy? To which I said, is ice cream dairy? Because then and now I love ice cream. I mean, you know, and I'm no ice cream snob. It's like I don't have to have like the really expensive ice cream. I can have the I'm the adult that runs out of the house and still chases the ice cream truck when it comes through the neighborhood. So, I mean, like, I love ice cream. I loved ice cream then. So I decided, well, I better be honest with this guy. I mean, I'm paying him. So I tell him, I say, well, I have ice cream every night. In fact, I have a giant bowl of ice cream every night. And he said, that's the problem. That's why your cholesterol's going up. You're going to have to cut back on the ice cream. I don't know if you've ever had this situation where it just feels like happy or healthy. Which way are you going to go here, you know? So I decided to go healthy. So I cut back on the ice cream, secretly hoping that it would have no impact whatsoever. But it did. Like after 4 or 5 months, I had to admit, I felt a lot better when I cut back on the ice cream. That's a physical test. Now what we're talking about today is a spiritual test. A physical body, and then we have the us that lives inside, your spirit, your personality, your soul, your attitudes. That's the invisible side. And you can test that, and that's what we're going to be today. Because here's the truth. If I can, if you can, finish this year and say I'm spiritually healthy, you'll be well on your way. Regardless of what has occurred so far, you'll be well on your way. Now, I know the underlining theme here is it's not too late, there's time left, and we're in November. So you might be saying, as I've said, man, there's no chance this can be the best year ever. I mean, 10 months have gone by. You know, there's no way I can catch up. But I'm saying to you that at the end of the year, if no matter what's happened in your life, because I understand there has been unexpected things occur, there's been a struggle that won't go away, but at the end of the year, if you can say, if I can say, I'm spiritually healthy, it will be the best year ever. So let's take the test. Number one in your notes, write this right here. Question, three of them today. Am I angry? Here, this is what one writer had to say, and they put this in the Bible. When you're angry, don't let your anger make you sin, and don't stay angry all day. Don't give the devil a way to defeat you. Now, the devil is not dressed in a red suit with a long tail and a pitchfork running around trying to get someone to sell their soul. But the devil is looking for angry people. Because when I'm angry, I can be manipulated and deceived. I can be manipulated when I'm angry. Because when I'm angry, when I'm really mad, I don't see so straight. And I can be deceived when I'm angry, because when I'm angry and really mad, I don't really care about right and wrong. It's such a powerful emotion, anger. It's the habanero pepper for sure. You know, of the emotions. And think about what the writer is saying here. He's saying to all humans, he's saying, all humans, take notice. You're strong enough to be angry for about one day. You have the capacity to manage your anger for about one day. And then it starts to cause me to make choices that hurt me and other people. I mean, one day. The caution is, you can be angry. I mean, and by the way, anger isn't a sin, it's an emotion. But if you keep it too long, the writer's saying you can handle it for about one day, and then it starts to get away. And he sort of ups the ante a little bit. He says, it's just an inside problem, it's an outside problem. It says, now we got the devil trying to use anger against me, problems on the outside. And then he's saying, problems on the inside. The strongest of the strong, the most mature, can only manage it one day. And then it starts to get away. Now, to help all this, I put together a little picture. It's a diagram. We're going to throw it up there. And I left you some room in your notes, so start writing that on there. You can draw some pictures today. And I want to talk about how we deal with it, because anger is always the result of something. It doesn't just appear. And these three words here, or some combination of these three words, is where it all begins, when I'm angry. And what happens when I'm angry, because I've exchanged the emotion of anger for one of these, I lose track of these as the starting place. When someone tells you to deal with your anger, it's never going to happen unless you can get to what caused the anger. So what we do when we're angry, remember now, best year ever, if I'm spiritually healthy, I ask the question, am I angry? I have to work it back to the cause. And we don't do it alone. That's something we do with Jesus. Remember, if you're taking notes, write this somewhere. When I have a religion, I do things for Jesus. When I have a relationship, I do things with Jesus. Very different. We do this with Jesus. And he may need to take me back to something in my life that's still hurting. There's a pain there. The exchange is what happens. It's like, who wants to rock around all day in pain and hurting? So I change it for anger, which feels more powerful and better than pain. But remember, it is the habanero. And after about a day, it starts to get away. And then I make choices that hurt me and other people. So I get back to what hurt me. Jesus has to walk me back, and maybe I have to go to someone and have a conversation, or I have to forgive someone, or I have to face something in my life. But at some point, I have to look and say, what is causing this pain? What am I hurt about? And then this next one, fear. Maybe I am afraid of something. Hey, here, newsflash. There'll always be something in life that'll be too big for me. There'll always be something that will scare me. One writer said it this way, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, because you are with me. The goal is to not, you know, oh, I'm never going to be afraid, or I'm going to, that's not the goal. The goal is to get in the middle of the fear and realize that I'm not enough by myself, but Jesus and I, now that's different. And then this last one, frustration. I thought about this all week and trying to decide if I was going to. So I thought, well, I'll put myself out there. This is the difficult one for me, is frustration. It's like I get frustrated because I want things to be different, or they should be different, and so then I'm quickly angry, and now I'm really super angry. I don't even know that I'm frustrated because I'm not frustrated very long. Do you know you can go from one of those emotions in a nanosecond to anger? And now you don't even know why you're angry. And what I've seen in my life, it all started when I was frustrated because I feel like now I've lost control. Oh, what's going to happen to the universe? You know, it's like the illusion of control. And now I've lost it. And I'm frustrated because I can't make it turn out the way I want to turn out and the way I think it should be. So now I'm angry. Whatever the combination is for you, that's where it's at. Now, here's how to get spiritually healthy. You go to Jesus when your anger is the red light. Check it out. Something's up. And you have him walk you back to whatever caused it. Because here's the thing. If you can be anger-free at the end of the year, that's best year ever. Now, number two, write this in your notes. Do I need to change my thinking? Our battle is to bring down every deceptive fantasy and every imposing defense that men erect against the true knowledge of God. We even fight to capture every thought until it acknowledges the authority of Christ. My thinking can get so sloppy throughout the week. And pretty soon I'm imagining saying things or doing something that I know I shouldn't and wouldn't ever do. And then I end up doing it. And I'm so shocked. It's like I load the gun and I pull the trigger and then I wonder, well, why'd the gun go off? Because I've been thinking about it and imagining it. And it just like gets so sloppy in my thinking. And I put together this other sort of little picture to kind of show you how this goes. It's another diagram. I left you some space. You can put it on your notes. And it shows you how this whole thing works. When it comes to thinking, it's kind of basic. There's an event, and then there's an interpretation, and then there's a choice. And the interpretive part, that's where the thinking happens. Now listen, we live in a culture that continues to push us towards the idea that we don't have any responsibility in it. It's not my fault. It's easy to be a blamer, to be a victim in our culture. It's like, I'm this way because of my parents or something that happened with a family member or what happened to me in elementary school. And those are the events. And those are true things. And those have happened. The culture sort of pushes you into it. Now it's happening with biology. It's just like, this is my biology. I'm just born this way. I don't have any say in the matter. But here's the real truth. The thinking portion belongs to you and me. How it's interpreted. That's the thinking time. We get to think about the event and decide what the interpretation is. You may have been thinking about something a certain way all year long. You need to change your thinking. And the writer says, we capture every thought and we make it acknowledge the authority of Christ. If he was talking street language, he would say, everything I think about, I run by Jesus. That's what that means. What he's saying is that this thinking portion, the interpretation side, the thinking portion, the event happens and then I think something about it. Before I finalize my interpretation, I run it by Jesus. Here's a really good simple thing. If you're taking notes, just write this somewhere. To go to God and say, God, this is what I think about it. What do you think about what I'm thinking? And give him an opportunity. Here's a crazy thing in my life as I've done this. So many times I was completely convinced that what I thought lined up with God. And I was shocked when he told me what he was thinking about what I was thinking. Sometimes I see him so incredibly strict on something and he's saying, lighten up. And other times I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be a breeze. He doesn't care. He's like, hold up. But here's my point. the interpretive side. You're not a victim. Nobody can take away from you or me our interpretation of the event, and we don't do that alone. You get to decide, I get to decide, and then we run it by God, the authority of Christ, and we say, God, what do you think about what happened to me? What do you think about what's happening? What do you think about what I'm thinking? If you want to be spiritually healthy at the end of the year, you need to change your thinking. You may have been thinking a certain way the entire year long, all year long, but here's my question for you. Listen, please. Have you run it by God? And would you be willing to say, God, this is what I think about it. What do you think about what I'm thinking? Now, number three. Do I need to make a commitment? And this is Jesus talking now. Do I need to make a commitment? Jesus talking. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. And the reason we're bringing the devil into the talk today is because the devil wants you to have the worst year ever. Because then you'll get discouraged and even maybe depressed. And then I wonder if God cares about me. And then I look around and I see all the crap going on in the world and I think, God, does God even care about any of this? And then I disconnect. This is why we brought the devil into the talk today. This is what he wants your life to look like. But this is not God's intention for you. And so staying connected, Jesus gives us sort of a really simple formula. Don't get caught in the middle of commitment. Make a commitment. Do you know anybody that always lives in maybe? I mean, they can't even order at a restaurant off the menu. It takes them a half hour, man. They're so indecisive. They live in maybe. They never can say yes, and they can never say no. They're just always somewhere in the middle. And I understand, because when I'm in the middle, when I'm in maybe, I haven't made a commitment to anything, I'm not responsible to anything, I can't be held accountable for anything, I can't get in any trouble because, hey, I didn't say I would do it anyways. Living without commitment is a great way to self-protect, because I'm never at risk. And yet here's the problem. If I'm self-protecting, I never turn to my protector. Making a commitment. Here's the crazy thing, and this is something I've discovered, you know, just how my life looks, is I can live my everyday life, my marriage, my parenting, my friendships. I can go to work every single day. I can do all the things of my life every single day without a commitment to them. Crazy, huh? It's like I can just, like, go through the motions every single day with everyone. And even be successful on some level every single where I go. And I'm not committed to any of it. Because I don't want to put myself out there. I don't want my heart out there. I don't want to put myself at risk. I can do life, but I'm not committed to life. And I usually have my reasons. I'm mad at somebody, or I'm disappointed in somebody, or I think something's going to hurt me. Whatever the case may be, I self-percept. Like, it's like I'm like this inside. I'm self-protecting because I don't want to be at risk. Now, here's the truth, and this is sort of, risk precedes all trust. Here's a great thing. You're starting to walk with God. Here's a great thing to think about. If you want to know how committed God is to you, make a commitment and then ask Him to help you keep it. And He will show you the level of His commitment to you. Is there anything happening in your life and you're doing it just fine, but you're not committed to it? You're actually living in maybe. Jesus sends up a flare. Be careful. Make a commitment. Where in your life do you need to decide? And make a commitment. So those three things, we're saying, hey, at the end of the year, I can be the best year ever for me. If I'm spiritually healthy, it's like a checkup. Am I angry? Anything going on in my life? And I need to look at that. And there was a chart to help you see that. Do I need to change my thinking? And that means run it by God and see what He thinks about what you think. And then lastly, is there anything in my life that maybe I do it all the time or I'm not doing it, but here's the key thing, I'm not committed. And I need to make a commitment.